independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
What it means is that Mueller has found something that he thinks justifies a grand jury authorizing a subpoena that they hope will be issued by the grand jury, but we really don't know exactly what topic they might be addressing.
I don't know what they're going to be addressing. I have a feeling it's going to be some financial stuff. I don't think collusion's going to be there. But if you're President Trump, you're not thrilled by all of this stuff. Let's be honest. There's a lot of people working, a lot of people that are big-time prosecutors, a lot of people that have a want, a vendetta, a friendship, a whatever it is, witch hunt kind of attitude. They've been brought in to find something, and damn it, they're going to find something. But is it the thing? That's the big thing. Is it the thing? Because you were brought in to find the thing. Have you found the thing? No, I don't think so. I don't think there is a thing to be had. I do not believe there is a thing to be had. I do not believe that they're going to find what they want to find. At least the left wants them to find, which is collusion. Oh, you don't think so? Nah. I don't think so. It's not a great way to start your vacation. Let's be real, right? This is supposed to be the dog days of summer in the world of politics. But Mueller is doing what he does. As Royal Oak says, they're going to do all they can to figure everything out.
In the grand jury room, Mueller and his representatives are essentially making a pitch to the grand juror, saying, okay, here's what we found. We would like you to vote to authorize a subpoena for particular documents, for a particular person to testify.
So who's it going to be? Well, I have a feeling it's going to be anybody that was in that room that day with Donald Jr. Whoever was there was probably going to be called on to testify. But they're not going to find all the things in the world they want because there really is no there. And remember, this is all before what took place that has now become Russiagate or whatever you want to call it. It's all before that. So the chances of this being any... I'm sorry. I just don't find it to be anything other than more noise. Now, if something comes out of it, I'm 110% ready to listen. But what I see is lots of people getting excited as if they've won something because they've gone and said, hey, we're going to take a look at a grand jury here and see if we can get some subpoenas and do some stuff. Oh, my goodness, this is it, right? It's the beginning of the end. It's all over now. But if you're Trump, you don't feel good about this at this moment, at this time.
The Trump administration can only take from this that it's not good news because it doesn't seem like Mueller is winding down the investigation.
No, I don't think he is winding down the investigation at all. Some of that is because he has been brought in. James Comey and him, I believe, are too close of friends for my liking. I think he's a man of integrity. People that I've talked to who know him. I've got my sources. So they say he's a man of integrity, but it doesn't mean that you're not going to find something. And that's just it. A lot of times you go and you think we're going after this, this, and this, and you don't get that, but you find something else. Could it be financial wrongdoing? It's possible. I'm not going to lie to you there. But in saying that, I just sit here and say, this is going to be a lot to do about nothing. And all the while, we're still sitting here with Obamacare, ACA. We're still waiting for the Senate to take on those two immigration bills that got down there. We're still waiting for tax reform. The economy's starting to move forward. It's feeling good. Great article in the New York Times today talks about the fact that, yes, the economy is booming despite all of the soap opera that is D.C. because nobody cares about Russia. Nobody does. So it's going to be interesting to see what takes place, but I have a feeling the wrongdoing that they are going to find, and I'm sure they will find something. You don't bring that many people into something and look for a grand jury and, you know, look through a grand jury and not find something. But is it the thing that everybody wants? Everybody on the left wants a smoking gun. They want it. They want Putin and him hugging each other, handing over the WikiLeaks stuff to him before they ever came out, with smiles on their faces and him handing over a bag of cash. It's not going to happen. It's not there. It's just not. So everybody needs to just sit back and let it play itself out. And I believe it is going to play itself out in a major way that is going to shock a lot of people out there who really, really want some sort of trophy that is supposed to be, you know, given apparently to the people on the left who don't like Trump, or maybe it's a raise or a day off work, whatever you think you're going to get. We move from there to this, and I find this to be disturbing when it comes to our government here. This is Lindsey Graham, who's disturbing enough.
Whether you like President Trump or not, no president can do business if their phone calls are going to be leaked to the Washington Post. So I hope Jeff Sessions can do something about the leaking because it's really hurting the president.
Yeah. With President Nieto, Washington Post has all the transcripts, has everything. You sit here sometimes and you scratch your head. You're like, who's, what? How is this happening? Who's in charge over there? How are things getting out? I'm just curious how things are getting out this fast. The President of the United States has a private phone call, and the transcripts are out, not only with him, but with the President of Australia, the Prime Minister of Australia. That, to me, is ridiculous. Is it somebody in the White House who feels like, hey, you know what? I'm doing a good deed because this president is evil and I want to do all I can to embarrass him, to shame him, to weaken him, to take away his, you know, his strength and power. I'll do all that I can because I am some sort of do-gooder. And leaks are commonplace in politics. And sometimes leaks are strategic and they're necessary. It keeps the administration and it keeps politics on their toes when we can call out people because things happen. But this is not a leak anymore. This is not. The dam has burst and things are coming out left, right, and center. This is Craig Miller of the WAPO.
The wall. It was such a central campaign issue for Trump. And there's a level of cynicism in this very initial, very first call with the Mexican president that is completely at odds with his sort of public posture on this issue. Makes no attempt in this conversation to try to get a commitment that Mexico is going to pay for this wall. Instead, he spends much of the call trying to pressure the Mexican president to stop talking about it, stop saying you're not going to pay for this wall because it's killing Trump politically.
It's killing Trump politically. Trump's worried about it, worried about the way he looks, worried about a lot of those things. It weakens the strength of our president. Stuff like this gets out. I don't care if it's a Democrat or Republican that's a president. This kind of stuff should not be leaked like this. This is insane. This is. I'll say one thing for the mooch, right? You know, God rest his soul, because he put in 11 days. Did you, producer Phil, this is great. One of the urban words of the day, one of the choices was Scaramucci. It is a unit of time, 11 days.
That's fantastic.
The mooch. But it gets out too fast. He was right about it, man. There's no reason that you have somebody over for dinner and before the dinner's even happened, before anybody's even been contacted, that everybody knows who's coming over for dinner. Somebody needs to button this up, and that's why I hope the General Kelly's going to do that now as the guy that's running this is the chief of staff for the White House. Here's more from Craig Miller from the Washington Post.
He describes this as an issue of national dignity for Mexico and something. He at one point tells Trump, you guys have put a big mark on our back. Trump is basically asking him to take a huge public relations hit. And the Mexican president is trying to explain to Trump why that is just not going to happen. And they're really just sort of talking past each other.
Which is not good. You don't want people talking past each other. You want them to have a discussion, and neither of them saw eye to eye in any way, shape, or form. That's understandable, right? But it makes the, it weakens the president and makes the president look foolish. And that's that. This is about embarrassing him. You're not going to bring him down with something like this, but this is about making him look bad, which makes us look bad. So as you're doing this, whoever you are, Mr. Leaker, Mrs. Leaker, or non-gender normative leaker, don't want to leave anybody out. While doing this, understand what you're doing. This makes everybody look bad. More from the Washington Post, Craig Miller.
And you see the Mexican president trying to say, look, you don't understand the dynamics here. If you want fewer people crossing the border into the United States from Mexico, you got to deal with economic growth. We got to reach agreements that are going to make both of our economies stronger, and then, and as well as security issues.
Yeah, as well as security issues. It's what it is. But the leaks are happening at a high rate of speed, and it's ridiculous. And enough is enough. We have to put an end to it. Again, some are strategic and some are needed to keep administrations and government in check. But this is just nonstop. And Lindsey Graham is finally right, saying you can't operate as a president of the United States if everything you do gets leaked. If everything that you say, if every meeting you take place, if every phone call in some way, shape, or form gets to the media, that's not good. That doesn't help. And it doesn't help in negotiation. It doesn't help in a lot of different things. Last cut from Craig Miller.
Trump is just really fixated on the structure itself, mm-hmm. and how this is going to look, how the way they resolve this is going to reflect on him.
Yeah, of course. Of course he is. And Trump has to get past that. At some point in time, Trump has to let it go. Let it go. Let it go how you look. Let it go about a lot of those things. Hyper-focus on the wins and move forward. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. What's next? Your pets. Wait to hear this. That's what's next. Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
What's next for climate change is getting rid of your pet because your pet is causing climate change, according to UCLA study. Man, they'll look for anything. But according to this study, 30% of the meat consumed in this country, created in this country, the meat consumption is for your pet. Therefore, your pet is causing climate change. So you must get rid of your pet. Now, this is where I love to see stuff like this. What's next for people who are for climate change and believe that climate change is happening because of man and pet? Well, they have pets. And I love when the world of progressiveness clashes with one another. It's like, what do? We love animals. And we love our pets, and I don't want to get rid of them, but I also believe in climate change. Oh, the humanity! Get a fish. It's insane. It is. But that's what's next for climate change. It's your pet. Your pet's consumption of meats and goodness of treats that they love to just scarf down. It's Fido's fault. It's Fluffy's fault. It's Brutus's fault. And whatever your dog or cat's name is, because what we do is we give a dog or a cat a name and then we give it a nickname. You do that as a kid, producer Phil, your family? You give a pet a name and then give it a nickname?
Oh, yeah. All of my pets had nicknames.
Yeah, yeah. My pets had crazy names, but that was part of the fun. But, man, that's what we do. It's like my family has like 4,000 dogs. It's an understatement. But they have a lot of dogs. But they all the animals have nicknames. Like, all of them. I'm like, why? Just give them the nickname. But I didn't realize that my pets cause climate change. This is the world we live in now. What's next for climate change is everything everything that you like may come under scrutiny because of climate change. It may come under fire because you like an animal and you want to feed it treats. You want to give it good food. And because of its consumption of meat, oh, man, it's not a good thing, kids. Scary that your animals now cause climate change. That's what's next for climate change, is they're coming for you. And whatever it is that you like, it's not going to be enough. Because most of these people have turned climate change into a religion. And they follow it tooth and nail. And they will go jihad on you if you don't buy into it. Your animals better hide. Because Al Gore is coming. And we're going to get them. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. Once again, if you just joined us, thanks so much for making us part of your day. Old Mueller there went to the grand jury. The panel's a grand jury. Want to get some subpoenas. Want to take a look at stuff. I have a feeling what they're going to find is Don Jr. and maybe some other people. Could be some financial wrongdoings is probably what they're looking for. But I'm sure we'll know more in the coming days because it'll be leaked everywhere and it'll get out there. It's crazy, but true. Coming up next. Very interesting guy, 30 years, worked as a Democratic strategist, still does. He's got a book out called America in the Age of Trump, Opportunities and Oppositions in an Unsettled World. Very interesting book. We're going to talk to Doug Schoen next about the book, about whether or not there's opportunities, and if he's optimistic about, I don't know, us moving forward. Are we too divided in this country? He'll tell us, Doug Schoen. America in the Age of Trump, Opportunities and Oppositions in an Unsettled World. We're talking about his book straight ahead. It is The Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
We're going to have Doug Schoen on here hopefully in a minute. We're efforting to get him. Yesterday, if you didn't see, and I've got stuff posted on both Facebook and Twitter, poll about, you know, English and this whole thing with legal immigration. And I was talking to my family about it last night. And, you know, it is, look, you know, legal immigration, English, it shouldn't be a bad thing to ask people. You're going to come to this country and you're going to immigrate here, that you should speak the language. Man, in the comments and the way that people attacked Trump and they've attacked me, and I don't care. I mean, I'm just being honest. I've been fortunate enough to live elsewhere in the world. And you know what? You should learn to speak English. It's not a horrible thing. Makes your life that much easier. Joining us now is Doug Schoen. He has got a new book out called America in the Age of Trump, Opportunities and Oppositions in an Unsettled World. Doug, thanks so much for coming on today. Appreciate that.
Very pleased to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
So give us a breakdown about the oppositions in an unsettled world.
Well, the oppositions are basically those people on the left and the right who decide to polarize, divide, and otherwise undermine the causes that I think we all hold dear.
And, you know, Trump, you know, I mean, Trump talks about how he wants to be a uniter. I don't think it mattered who would have won. This was going to be a divided world. politically, especially because we've become so polarized right now. I can't blame that all on Trump, but I understand that, you know, some of Trump's rhetoric can make people, you know, react in ways that, you know, that does divide even more.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, look, I worked for Bill Clinton, and I know a lot of your listeners don't like Bill Clinton, but he did reach out. He reached out to Newt Gingrich, and we were able to balance the budget, reduce the debt and the deficit, and reform welfare. And all of that was good then. It's good now. And hopefully Donald Trump, through General Kelly, his new chief of staff, will seek to do that.
Talking to Doug Schoen's got a book out called America in the Age of Trump, Opportunities and Oppositions in an Unsettled World. You worked with somebody who was an astute politician. Let's be real. Bill Clinton, like Reagan and a few others before him, really understood politics and understood, you know, their personalities were big enough to get them over a lot of things. And I think that's what really, really, in a lot of ways, were so similar with Reagan and Clinton, is their personalities were so big and they understood politics. He understood that, hey, I've got to move to the center. I've got to get with Newt. We got to have this Contract for America thing. We got to make this thing work because I got to listen to the people, and the people spoke. You look at somebody like Trump, I think a lot of people, Doug, thought he's not the typical politician. This is going to be a good thing. And yet here we are 6 months in, and at times it's just chaos.
Well, I think that's exactly right. People voted for him because he was not part of the establishment, and he's not in an elective office, and he seemed to be a fresh face, which I think on the political scene he was. But we're facing needless chaos and division, and what we argue in America in the Age of Trump, we need bipartisan solutions to our problems.
You talk about bipartisan, and that sounds great. The perfect opportunity right now to have the first step towards real bipartisan solutions is Obamacare, ACA, whatever people want to call it. It's not sustainable with the way it is right now. The Republicans for years talked about, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, can't wait. They had the show votes, and then it was time, and nothing came to fruition whatsoever. And now they've got to go back in and talk to each other.
Well, I guess what I would tell you is we are at a critical juncture with the ACA, because for those who wanted repeal or repeal and replace, you know what? It's not going to happen. We have the ACA in place. Premiums are skyrocketing. Unless we do something to try to rein them in and borrow from both sides of the aisle, we're going to fail. And that's why bipartisanship is so critical.
You look out a year from now, 2 years from now, when you see where things are at this moment in time, do you think that there's more of a chance of us becoming more united, or is this just the way we are right now and maybe the way we are going forward, where we've got a very divided country that's red and blue with very few purple in the middle?
I think we're going to be more divided, not less divided. I hope I'm wrong. I fear I won't be wrong. And candidly, if we are more divided, the net losers will be the American people and the United States of America, because after all, we are the United States. And candidly, if we can't get together and address our problems in a constructive way, our adversaries win. And that's an unabashed problem for our country.
You know, in the book, you talk about the fact that we've got a huge distrust with government in this country. And that's on both sides. It's not just on one side. It's not a one side doesn't like the government and the other side loves the government. Why is that? Why are we so distrustful of this government?
Because it's failed. Whether you're a liberal and you want redistribution of wealth, or you're a conservative and you want smaller government, we haven't succeeded. I wish we had. We haven't. And I think people are right to be suspicious of their lawmakers in Washington.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I agree with you 110%. I think the government is, well, I think the government's in it for themselves, you know, and it's very frustrating, you know, what they tend to be doing, which is nothing. And we look around and people in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and people in Miami, and people in California, and people in Washington State look around and think, what are you doing for us? Because all you seem to be doing is nothing. And when you do something, it breaks.
Right. Exactly right. And it makes people deeply suspicious, cynical. And that's why Donald Trump was elected, and that's what motivated us to write America in the Age of Trump.
Talking to Doug Schoen, his new book is America in the Age of Trump, Opportunities and Oppositions in an Unsettled World. You know, people voted for him, and a lot of people, I heard a lot of people say, you know what, I'd like to see what a businessman or woman can do. I want to see what a non-politician who's successful in this place and in this time to be president, I want to see what they can do. And I've been telling people, we expect, he wants to run something like a business. There's people in Washington that are politicians. They don't want to run it like a business. And I think we forget that he is a co-equal branch. He is not the king and ruler.
That is correct. And one of the reasons why political experience matters is you avoid some of the rookie mistakes Trump and his group have made. And it's a double-edged sword, because if you've been in there too long, you probably haven't succeeded. And if you haven't been in it at all, you don't know the ropes.
If you were advising Trump, and like you said, you work with Clinton, you look around, you say, what's the first thing you would say? We've got to fix this right now, because if we fix this, we'll be on the right path. But if we keep doing this, we're destined to fall apart.
I would say you do a deal with the Democrats on health care. You declare victory. You move on to tax reform and infrastructure. You do it on a bipartisan basis, sticking to your principles, but trying to achieve as much as you can. And you have the bully pulpit, and you claim victory, and most of all, the American people know that you've produced results.
What do you hope people get out of your book?
I hope they get out the great possibilities we have for success and leadership in the United States of America, and how we can get ourselves out of the mess we're in.
What's the number one thing you think in politics and the American people, what's the number one you think things that really people care about the most that the politicians miss on a day-to-day basis because they're too inside the beltway in the bubble?
Three words: jobs, jobs, and jobs.
I told everybody, Hillary talked about a lot of stuff, and yet as crazy at times as Trump was and his rhetoric and stuff, every 20 seconds he'd stop down and say jobs, jobs, jobs. And I said that resonated with people, and I don't think people understood that.
I think you couldn't have been more correct and more prescient, and he should continue to do that and cut out the divisive rhetoric.
Are you hopeful, Doug?
I am hopeful, but frankly sober about the possibilities.
Here's a question. As we're talking to you, Doug Schoen, his new book is America in the Age of Trump, Opportunities and Oppositions in an Unsettled World. You worked with Bill Clinton. If Bill Clinton came along today, with the way the Democrats are a much different party than they were then, as are the Republicans, what would he be like as a politician today?
It would be much tougher for Bill Clinton to get nominated in this environment. I think he'd probably be more left-wing. He'd probably be more talking about income inequality, probably more supportive of redistribution, just because of the political climate inside the Democratic Party.
And that Democratic Party is moving further and further left, and a lot of people say that Republicans are moving further and further right. You look back at all the great politicians across the board. If they were here today, they would like to Kennedy is a perfect example. You hear Kennedy, nobody would recognize Kennedy's politics today in the Democratic Party.
Correct. Absolutely right.
It's crazy. America in the Age of Trump, Opportunities, Opposition is an Unsettled World. You can get it on Amazon. We appreciate you coming on today, Doug.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. Perfect example right there. You know, I mean, focus on the win and jobs, jobs, jobs. Jobs is so important. I say it all the time. What's the one thing we all participate in? The economy. Doesn't matter what you do. You buy a pencil, you buy something at Starbucks, you get gas. It's the economy. It's money. If people have dollar bills in their pocket, if people are making money, if people feel good about their career because their job is settled, if they feel good about their pay and the fact that they feel that in the future they're going to be making more and earning more and they're seeing a rise in their paycheck, if they feel good that at night they go to sleep and they're not worried about how they pay this and how they pay that and who can they kick to the end of the month and who can, it makes their world so much easier. Jobs, jobs, jobs. Focus on the winning, focus on the good, get jobs done. It's not, I'm telling everybody, Trump has a huge opportunity here to, and as he has in the past, to rise like a phoenix from the ashes when you think he's down. And I don't think he's down and out, but I think he's had definitely been on. He's faced a few more punches than I think he thought he was going to face. And that includes both sides of the aisle punching at him. But you watch. I think he's smart enough to realize, and I wouldn't be surprised if he spends these next 2 weeks on this vacation recharging the batteries and thinking to himself, how do I flip the script here and how do I turn this in my favor where people look back in 6 months or a year and go, wow, I didn't see that coming. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. Once again, the book is called America in the Age of Trump, Opportunities and Oppositions in an Unsettled World. Doug Schoen joined us. We'll put it up on the podcast. You can get the book at Amazon. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Call it ridiculous. We call it reality with a twist. Say what?
Say what? WannaCry. Remember that? That big hacking? It's over. It's done with. Somebody's emptied out the bank account to the tune of $140,000. Not quite the billions that the North Koreans, Chad, allegedly wanted to get, but it is what it is. 140 grand empty. You know what would be hilarious? Is if North Korea stole that money and somebody else, some like 15-year-old hacker in like Cincinnati, Ohio, cleaned them out. And the guy who, was it the guy who stopped WannaCry? Is that what it was, Phil? The guy that
noticed him. It?
He got arrested, right, today?
Yeah, but they won't say for what?
In Las Vegas? Oh, he got arrested in Las Vegas. That's not good. Hopefully it was something good like solicitation. Like, you don't want to get arrested for something stupid in Vegas. You want to go big or go home. Phil, I found your job, and it was great. I loved you working on our show, and we will always wish you the best. But NASA has a new job opening, all right? It's a 3-year contract, and your job is to protect the Earth from aliens.
So far, I've done a pretty good job.
You have. I've done a good job, too. You know what else I've done a really good job at? Bringing the sun back. I've done a really good job at that. I know. Look, a good magician will never tell. But there is a job and an opportunity for you to have said job. And get ready for this, man. So it's a 3-year contract, right? And you got to be ready. You got to be ready. There's two of these jobs that are full-time in the world. And what essentially has to happen is if anything goes down, you got to be ready to go fight. You've got to be ready to be part Will Smith and part whatever his name was in that movie. I forgot. Fought the aliens. Jeff Goldblum. You've got to be ready. But it does pay well. 3-year contract. And now here's my thing. Because like all good businesses, they give you a range of salary. Starting at $124,406 to $187,000, obviously it's negotiable. How do you think you negotiate that? That's my question. Like, I'm killing real good. Like, I've fought aliens before. I'm great at Halo. Is that something that fights aliens? I don't know. I'm really bad at like video games, and I work with a bunch of video game guys. That's so weird, but that's great, man. So the new job ad is a result of relocating the position to the Office of Safety and Mission Assurance, which is an independent technical authority within the NASA group. It maintains policies, they say, for planetary protection applicable to all spaceflight missions that may intentionally or unintentionally carry Earth organisms and organic critters to the planets or solar system bodies, and any mission employing spacecraft which are intended to return to Earth and its biosphere with samples from extraterrestrial targets or explorations. But 124 grand, that's pretty good, man. Where's NASA headquartered? Where do you think that's at? You think that's out of Houston or is that out of Florida?
I don't know. It may be out of California.
No way. Good God. Sign us up. Say what? A group is having The political powers that be look into why seats are shrinking on airlines and whether or not that is safe. In fact, what they're saying now was once 35 inches is now 31 inches and people are getting bigger. The seats are getting smaller and it's making it unsafe for all kinds of travel. That includes people that may be getting sick, claustrophobic. If you're sitting around too long, you don't have the leg room to stretch your legs, and or if there is ever a situation where a plane may crash, that it is unsafe and they want them to look into it. And they're going to. Man, I flew a couple weeks ago, and it was a little bit uncomfortable at times. I will have to say that. And if I was on Allegiant, and they got us to and fro. I called it the death glider because they have the worst safety record, allegedly, but not really. Even though they've not crashed, they tend to make a lot of, they have a lot of DC-10s, Phil. You know about that. But the seats did not recline. It was like sitting in giant car seats. But it got us there safe, man, and that's all that mattered. That's all I care about. I don't care what I'm sitting in as long as we land safely. Text the program 323-538-2423,
323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show. This is the Chad Benson Show.